This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Monday Morning Deep Dish. My name is Shepard Price. You're on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm here for the mailbag edition of Monday Morning Deep Dish. We'll be talking about your questions that you've sent in on our Twitter account at 2ND City Hockey. Of course, where you can follow along during game days and send questions, and we'll answer them. Clearly, I've got a few questions here today, so we're going to do some deep diving on those questions. The first one is retired numbers and who will be retired next and who's been deserving and sort of just where this sort of organization stands as we head into the next stage past the sort of cup glow era, those great 6 years we had. Those are sort of over now. It's been 6 years, 5 years since 2015. It'll be five cups since that one. So we're sort of moving into a new era. That sort of brings me to who will be the next retired jersey. It's Duncan Keith, I think, at the very latest. It's whenever Duncan Keith retires. It is my belief that the immediate next season, if he retires May 2022, October 2023, not October 2023, October 2022, you'll see Duncan Keith's number in the rafters. I think he's a face of the franchise. When they build the inevitable statue for this era, because you don't win three cups in the salary cap era and not get a statue. When they build that statue, it'll be Duncan Keith. It'll probably be Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And I don't know if there'll be multiple statues around the building or if it'll just be one. I believe it'll just be one. Probably saves on money and honors them all together because they're the big three sort of from this era. They should be honored all together. But Duncan Keith, because he's the oldest of those three, will be the first one to be retired. And so he'll be the first one to have his number retired. I think Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, because they've done basically everything else in their careers together, will probably retire at the same time. They're basically the Blackhawks version of the Sedin twins, although they play together a lot less. They will be, it is my belief, they will retire together. So their numbers will probably go up in the same year, although it is my belief that they will be retired on separate nights so as to give them sort of their own honors. Maybe back-to-back nights, that'd be nice. But so a history of the retired numbers in the Blackhawks organization. They're an original six organization, so they have sort of a different standard. I know Chris Pronger's getting his number retired in St. Louis. I don't believe the Blackhawks would ever retire somebody who sort of went through as many teams as Chris Pronger did, which is probably the nail in the coffin for Marian Hossa, is that Marian Hossa is a clear Hall of Famer, but he's not sort of any organization's signature player. He doesn't belong to one organization. He belongs to the Senators. He belongs to the Thrashers. He belongs to the Blackhawks. He belongs to a very much less extent Pittsburgh and Detroit. But if this was the Baseball Hall of Fame and you only got to go in wearing one organization's hat, I think it might be the Blackhawks, but it's also an equal chance of being Ottawa because that's where he started and that's where he had some of his best years in terms of productivity offensively. I don't know if they retire a guy, even though he's the best free agent signing in the history of Chicago sports, I think that's an undisputed claim that he should be able to make. I don't think he'll ever sort of be that foundational organizational guy, mainly because I don't know what his organizational role will be going forward. He could be a European scout. He could be something overseas, but he's not. As much as I want him to coach, I don't believe Marian Hossa will ever coach the Blackhawks. I think he will sort of stay in Slovakia. I think that's where he's happiest. So he's not Keith Magnusson. He's a Hall of Famer, which is sort of the criteria besides Keith Magnusson for being a Blackhawks retired number. But I don't think he is that sort of organizational foundational stone. There's sort of six other debates that you can have about who should have their numbers retired. Ed Belfour, Jeremy Renick, Steve Larmer, Chris Chelios, Brent Seabrook, Corey Crawford. I don't think any of those have their numbers retired, and I'll go through real fast why I believe that. Ed Belfour, too many teams. Jeremy Roenick, the Blackhawks have had better American players since then, and he's not a Hall of Famer. I don't think he'll ever be in the Hall of Fame. Steve Larmer is a clear-cut Hall of Fame case, in my opinion. He's one of the biggest snubs basically every year. But again, if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame ever, I don't know why you would retire his number. Chris Chelios, the way he left the organization, the way he's sort of treated the organization pre this year, wearing a Detroit Red Wings sweater to a organizational photo shoot, to an alumni photo shoot. It makes it clear that he didn't want to be a part of this organization until he moved back this year, and now he's a community ambassador. I think there's still too much strain on his number, and also it being worn by another sort of foundational player in the Stanley Cup era in Brent Seabrook. Unless they're going to do the Keith Magnusson, Pierre Palat thing where they retire it for both players, I don't see why you would retire seven for either of them, but then not retire it for the other. Then I don't think you retire it for Brent Seabrook. I think there's a lot of different sort of standards at play here. I don't think Brent Seabrook's a Hall of Famer. I know for sure Chris Chelios is, but I don't think, again, you can't retire it for one and not the other. Corey Crawford, as much as I believe he is, and as much as I believe he was the best goaltender in the NHL for 5 years, from 2013 to 2018, until Evgeny Malkin hit him in the head, I don't believe he is a Hall of Famer. And that sort of cements his legacy as not getting his number retired. And then finally, Marian Hossa, again, just doesn't have the sort of organizational role past his playing days to have that number in there. But again, for sure, getting retired, Duncan Keith, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, those three are for sure going in the rafters as soon as they retire. But going through the history of it, you can see Glenn Hall, number one, retired. Hall of Famer. Five-time first-time All-Star, three-time second-team All-Star, three Vezinas. Obvious Hall of Famer. Pierre Palat, three Norrises, five-time first-team All-Star. Captain of the Blackhawks, Hall of Famer. Obvious retired number. Bobby Hull, number nine, three Art Rosses, two Harts, 10 times first-team All-Star, Hall of Famer. Denis Savard, two-time All-Star, three times 100-point player, Hall of Famer. Stan Mikita, 4 times Art Ross, 2 times Hart, 6 times first-team All-Star, Hall of Famer. Esposito, 3 times Vezina, Hall of Famer. Again, it's just Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. And then the only guy who's not a Hall of Famer on that list, Keith Magnusson, player and coach for the organization, captain, founded the Blackhawks Alumni Association. He's the organizational guy for this organization. He's sort of the backbone of the Blackhawks organization as an organization. It makes sense for him to be, as the company man he was, to have that number retired for him. He's the only exception to that rule. That's why, again, I don't think Jeremy Renick will ever get his number retired, is because he's not that foundational organizational guy, that sort of backbone. And again, that's why it works against Chris Chelios. Even though as good as he was, as Chicago-born as he is, he's not the foundational backbone of the Blackhawks organization. So that's sort of the history of the retired numbers.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we'll break down... We break down who will be cutting... Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are... It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Let's talk about Robin Leonard now. Because that's a question a few of you had, is what do we do about Robin Leonard? What does it say going forward if we resign him? Do we want to send him to Carolina? Because if they're sending a player to Carolina, it's Leonard. They're sending Corey Crawford elsewhere if they're sending Corey Crawford anywhere. It is my belief that Corey Crawford, as I said a few times on Musing on Madison, he's the guy that you should go with after this year. Robin Leonard will be more expensive. Corey Crawford's been there. Corey Crawford's done that. Corey Crawford is a Blackhawk through and through. He's been a Blackhawk his entire career. Robin Leonard is a guy the Blackhawks sort of stumbled into and had instant success with, but who isn't a Blackhawk through and through. He's been really good. He's been good in the team, but he's getting used to being good on teams. Corey Crawford is a Blackhawk, has always been a Blackhawk, his whole career. So the debate is do you re-sign Leonard or do you send him away? As Dave has said multiple times on Musings on Madison, you gotta consider the return you could get for Robin Leonard, at least a first round pick, if not a lot more. First round pick and a good prospect, a top tier prospect. You can get a lot from. There's a lot of teams out there with some cap space, but who need desperately a goaltender, and I think you could conceivably get a lot for Robin Leonard. $5 million for 1 year, that's exactly the kind of deal teams contending and looking for goaltending are looking for. And you can even retain some of that and get even more back. I would be looking at Edmonton. I'd be looking at Calgary. I'd be looking at multiple teams who need goaltenders. There's a lot of ways to find a trade for Robin Leonard, whether that's taking cap space back or, again, retaining. Do whatever you need to. You gotta... It's beginning to look a lot like the Blackhawks are not going to be a contender this year. The loss to the Winnipeg Jets, I'm recording the night after we saw that collapse, that five goals allowed after our two goal lead early in the game. It's beginning to look like the Blackhawks aren't going anywhere. You got to start considering trading Leonard again, because Corey Crawford seems to be in my opinion, the safety valve before somebody like Kevin Lankinen or Colin Delia becomes your number one goaltender. And it seems like one of those guys could be. And until that time, until they've developed and gotten a few more years in the NHL, Corey Crawford seems to be the perfect guy to sort of take their spot and then retire a Blackhawk. And that's sort of what I want out of him is to be a Blackhawk until he retires, because that does help. Going back to the retired numbers case, there should probably be a ring of honor. They've got room for it in the building. And that's where you can put guys like Ed Belfour and Jeremy Roenick and Steve Larmer and Chris Chelios and Marian Hossa and Brent Seabrook and Corey Crawford in that ring of honor. That can be your sort of first group. If none of them are getting their numbers retired, you still want to honor them. They're still fantastic players who have played for your organization. And you have higher standards for who you believe to be retired numbers. that only Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane have met in the last 30 years. Then you look at, well, let's have a separate space for them. And I think that's where Corey Crawford should go. But Robin Leonard, it makes sense. It honestly makes sense either way. If you want to re-sign Robin Leonard, $8 million, again, should be the upper limit of where that term is, of where that AAV is. Term, 6 years. He's a young goaltender. He's 28, 29. You can take him till he's 34, 35. Why not? That's a good goaltender, and that's a good goaltender age. Goaltenders can last that long now with all the training they do. You're not seeing it in Sergei Bobrovsky, but that's because Sergei Bobrovsky is just having a down year, in my opinion. He'll be back next year. He's going to be worth the 10.5 at some point in that contract. It's depending on it just depends on how long he's worth that. It's not long. But yeah, we've talked about this a few times on various podcasts before. It makes sense to do a lot of things with Robin Leonard. It's just a matter of what do you want to do with him? And my honest answer is send him to Carolina, send him to Edmonton, send him a few places that need a goaltender. Get that return back. Again, the Blackhawks, they should have been waiting a week after the bye week to see what they were up to. They're not up to any good. I know the last two losses before this game against Winnipeg were both overtime losses, but they were both losses. That's three losses in a row. They're on a losing streak. They're officially on a losing streak. If you take away the loser point, like a lot of people do want to do, you'll see that the Blackhawks are losing. They're very clearly losing on a very bad losing streak, in an age, in an era, in a time when they need to be winning. They needed to win this game against Winnipeg. They desperately needed to win this game. They needed to win at least one of the last two games. They haven't done it. And it's beginning to look like their play, like I said in the stock report this week, it looks unsustainable. It looks like they were riding hot goaltending. And as soon as that goaltending let them down, like Corey Crawford did in the third period, unfortunately today, you lost the game because the offense wasn't doing anything. The offense wasn't getting anything going. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, is what sort of aspect of the game you blame that on. Before we get there, though, somebody asked about Ian Mitchell, how he's doing, what his candidacy for the Hobie Baker looks like. He's not a top 10 candidate, in my opinion. He's a great hockey player. He's going to be a fantastic Blackhawk. He might even be the Blackhawks' number one defenseman, depending on if Adam Boqvist ever fixes the defensive aspect of his game. We haven't seen it this season yet, but it depends on who you believe that he'll be working on it going forward. He's got to develop it. I don't think Duncan Keith is the player to play him with if you want to develop that defensive aspect of the game. I think you play it with Connor Murphy. Connor Murphy, who's basically the Blackhawks' best security blanket, who makes up for a lot, which is why you're playing him with Erik Gustafsson, because you've realized, oh, Connor Murphy can do a lot of good things defensively, and he moves the puck well. He's basically an insurance policy for whatever defenseman we put him with. Put him with a better guy, and Adam Boqvist, and you'll see that Connor Murphy does a lot of good things, and a lot of things right. But Ian Mitchell might be the number one defenseman going forward for the Blackhawks. But he's not even the top scorer on his team. He's not the top scorer among defensemen this season. He's not even in the top five for scoring among defensemen. He's got 6 goals and 16 assists in 22 games and 22 points in 28 games, which is about a better pace than he had last year when he had 27 points in 39 games. He's 5 points short of where he was last season. He's got the same number of goals. He's 5 points short in 11 fewer games. It's very likely he gets there. He's having fewer assists because this is, in my opinion, it's a worse Denver team than they were last year. But he's a great captain. He's doing all the right things defensively. He plays a good two-way game. He's the guy you wanted him to be, I think, when the Blackhawks drafted him early in the second round. He's exactly the guy you expect. I do think he'll get some games here in Chicago, depending on how Denver does in the Frozen Four tournament in March and April. I think you'll see him. at some point this season, and I think he'll be ready for next year, which, again, does not help the Blackhawks' already crowded logjam at defense, because you've got a lot of guys already ready to play NHL defense, especially with Olli Maatta coming back to being Olli Maatta, the guy who played for Pittsburgh, the guy the Blackhawks traded for in recent games. He and Slater Cuckoo continue to be maybe the Blackhawks' best offensive pairing. That's just been an excellent third pairing. But, man, Ian Mitchell he's special, but he's not been with the Hobie Baker this year, and that's not anything wrong with him. I personally don't see anybody beating Jack Dugan from Providence for that award, because Dugan's been so good for Providence. He's been the backbone of that team, and he is exceptional this season. It's not about Ian Mitchell not winning that award. It's about the guys who he's playing with, and sort of the forwards you see, and also the last defenseman who was a finalist for the Hobie Baker, Jimmy Schult, is playing in the AHL. It's not clear if he'll ever be an NHL defenseman. He doesn't skate well. That award is not the be-all end-all for defensemen. There's plenty of great NHL defensemen who went through college who did not win that award, and I think Ian Mitchell is just one of those guys. Finally, after tonight's game, there's one thing we really have to discuss, and that's the power play. Because that power play is not. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. From this team, it's never been acceptable that they've had as bad of a power play as they've traditionally had. They've always had a bad power play. Looking at the forwards they have, that shouldn't be the case. Jonathan Toews should be good on the power play. Patrick Kane is good on the power play. Alex Brinkat is a good goal scorer on the power play. He had a really bad night tonight. And again, I tweeted it out from our account tonight. Jeremy Colleton earlier in the season had a habit of healthy scratching players after a bad performance. He did that with Dominik Kubalík, and then Dominik Kubalík came alive. You really need Alex DeBrincat if you're gonna make a playoff push. Even after these three games, you need Alex DeBrincat to be Alex DeBrincat again. He has not been Alex DeBrincat this season. He has not been the guy they paid $6 million to at the beginning of this season. He has not come alive this season. A healthy scratch might do him some good, because he does not do anything if he's not scoring goals. You look at guys like Brandon Saad, who will finish with more goals this season than he will. You look at guys like Dominik Kubalík. They do a lot more besides scoring goals. Dominik Kubalík is in conversations with friends, calling him the demigod reincarnate, because his play reminds me a lot of Hossa's. He's sort of that two-way force that I will get anything I want to done that plays alongside Jonathan Toews and helps elevate Jonathan Toews' game again. That's Dominik Kubalík. More than it's Brandon Saad, even. Saad plays a very similar game to Hossa, too. He's very strong on the puck. Dominik Kubalík is fantastic. And you don't see that from Alex DeBrincat. I think a healthy scratching could be good for him. His mistake was what led to that first goal against, or that first or second goal against. You gotta see more out of him. Especially now playing with Dylan Strome again. Those two are supposed to be best friends. They're supposed to build each other up. They're not doing it. I know it might be their center. You might want to see Ryan Carpenter there instead of David Kampf, because that line worked well. But still, man, Alex DeBrincat needs to be better. But the backup's power play as a whole needs to be better. Needs to do a lot better. Since January 24th, when I wrote about an article for the website, secondcityhockey.com, about the power play and how bad that was, how they were sort of structured to shoot high danger chances and nothing else, and they were the worst. They were one of the worst teams in the league in high danger shooting percentage, maybe the worst. They are doing the exact same thing. They're 27th in Corsi share. They're 24th in Corsi 4 per 60, 24th in shots 4 per 60, 27th in shot share. They have a 50% goal share since January 24th. 50%. They've scored as many goals as they've allowed. I believe y'all know enough about the power play to know that that's not acceptable. They have 16th in expected goals for per 60, 25th in share, 16th in high danger chances per 60, 25th in share. Again, they're just shooting high danger chances. They're getting quality chances, but again, they're not succeeding on those. They're 24th in the league in high danger shooting percentage since January 24th with a 12.5% success rate. That's not good enough for that to be the only area where you're shooting from. They're 30th overall across the whole season with 13.25% in from high danger. That's not acceptable. You got to start. They have to start looking elsewhere. They have to start moving the puck back. They have to start getting better screens that don't touch the puck, that just screen. You got to have a better net front presence. Kirby Dach's big. He should be able to do that. Dylan Strome's big. He should be a better screener. Drake Kajula is good on the rebounds, but that's, again, high danger chances. But it's better high danger chances than they're getting right now. They're just, it's not working. The power play is not working, and that let them down tonight. They did not get enough on the power play. They got a lot of chances. And so them playing undisciplined hockey, too, also let them down. Don't get me wrong. They played too much on the penalty kill. They played nine minutes and around 12 seconds on the penalty kill tonight, and that's not good. And they allowed one goal. But, man, that power play, you look at it, and it's just atrocious. It's not acceptable. It's not an acceptable aspect of their game. Something needs to be done. And they've had the same coach the whole season. Thomas Patel has been in charge of the power play the entire season. It's not worked, ever. In theory, it should. High danger chances should result in goals because that's why they're called high danger. But they're not for the Blackhawks. Whether that's a lack of high danger quality shooters, guys who can't score from high danger areas. You don't necessarily think of Alex DeBrincat or Patrick Kane scoring from those areas. You think of them scoring from outside areas because they're better shooters than they are sort of just forcing it in guys. Or whether that's the lack of screening, the lack of a sort of foundational player there, whether that's the lack of Andrew Shaw, who is a good-ish screener, whether that's Brandon Saad not playing there, whether that's Kirby Dach not being as good of a screen as he should be, whether that's Dylan Strome missing games. That power play, if that continues to let them down, then it will be the death of them this season. They can't continue to be one of the worst power plays in the league and push for that playoff spot that they so desperately want. Whether that means bringing in a new power play specialist, I don't know where you'd find one. I don't know who's a power play specialist on the open market they could look for. Whether that means getting Adam Boqvist back because he was better on the power play than Erik Gustafsson is. Erik Gustafsson cannot play on this power play anymore. Whether that's taking Duncan Keith off because Brent Seabrook was better this season on the power play than he was. Something's got to be done about that man advantage because until it is, they're not going to succeed. That's the simple truth. Without that ability to build off of momentum and to score when they have a ripe chance, which is what the power play is supposed to be. You're supposed to have a ripe chance to score. With the Blackhawks not having that, they're not scoring. Their offense is just not as good as it was last season. Their defense has improved, but that's not good enough, clearly. And their goaltending has improved. Everything in the back end has improved, and it's just the offense is not there this season. And that's sort of the death of them. So until that improves, the Blackhawks are sort of stuck here. And stuck here is outside the bubble, but not bad enough to tank. Not bad enough to get someone who can change the power play, like Quentin Byfield or Alexis Lafreniere. Not good enough to get maybe even Lucas Raymond, Tim Stutzel, any of those guys who can actually make an active difference. Certainly not good enough to get the one guy they should want outside of all four of those forwards and Jamie Drysdale, who's going to go third or fourth as the best defenseman in this draft. That's about all I have to say about the power play is that it just needs to improve. You got to see more shooters shooting. You got to see Dominique Kubalik get some actual opportunities on the power play. Until that day, this has been the mailbag edition of Monday Morning Deep Dish. My name is Shepard Price. You can follow me at Shepard Price, S-H-E-P-A-R-D, Price, on Twitter. I'm Jehosa's Witness on the website, and we'll see you on Wednesday and Friday. We have multiple episodes coming out this week on the podcast network, and we're excited for those. So we'll see you around. Have a nice week, and turn it around, Blackhawks.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.